The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
The Holy Spirit quickened another sermon. This is the second week. I had this sermon I was going to share tonight. But the Holy Spirit, during the worship, quickened another sermon. And this is just a couple of verses. He quickened this while we were singing. And we're going to look at a couple of verses. And I think it's going to minister to us. And it would just start by looking at 2 Thessalonians 3:16. What I want to talk about tonight is how to have peace always by all means. I'm going to say that again. How to have peace always by all means. Now, this is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. I've enjoyed looking this verse over the last few years. It's one of my 3:16 verses. You know, there's a wonderful teaching. Have you ever heard the 3:16 teaching? It is crazy, man. But if you take the verses of 3:16, everybody knows John 3:16, right? Well, the whole gospel, wouldn't you agree, is pretty much summed up in John 3:16. Am I right about that? Are you out there? Well, I don't know if you know it, but if you look at 1 Timothy 3:16, the whole gospel is summed up in that verse too. In fact, Luke 3:16 tells you what right after you get saved, that talks about you need to be filled with the Spirit of the baptism of the Spirit. And so you follow the theme of 3:16. Even Malachi 3:16 talks about what's going to happen at the end of you are. But 2 Thessalonians 3:16, I believe, is a revelation of how to live the walk. And it's an incredible promise. It reads, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." That's the title tonight, How to Have Peace Always by All Means. Now let me ask you something. How many of y'all would like to have peace always by all means? Now, if I can nail this in your spirit tonight, listen carefully. This is a promise. Having therefore these precious promises, dear beloved, how does that read in this description, 2 Peter 1? He says, "According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto godliness through the knowledge of him, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we can partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption." That's 2 Peter 1. This is a promise that God has given, okay, that we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. We were talking about that. And it is a promise that God wants us to have peace always by all means. Now, what I'm trying to establish is that is a promise. If you do not have peace, deep abiding peace, it is there for you now. It's not something that you will attain someday. It's not something that you might have. It is an absolute warranted promise, guarantee of God that he wants to give you peace always by all means. Now, Romans 5:1 says, "Having therefore..." In fact, let's look at Romans 5:1. There's something that called the peace with God and the peace of God. Let's look at, this always reminds me, Billy Graham authored a famous book called Peace with God. Talk about being born again. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace," what? Where? With God. We see, because we've been justified by the blood of Jesus, we have peace with God. We're no longer in enmity with God. God can look at us, and he's not looking us through the veil of wrath. He is accepting us in the beloved. Can you hear an amen? But it's not just peace with God, it's the peace of God. Lord, I pray in these few minutes that I'm going to be sharing, that you would nail deep inside of us the reality that we can abide in a place of peace we've never known. Come, Holy Spirit. Only you can make this clear, a revelation from heaven that will break through the lies. Listen, a lot of people I encounter are a lot of times troubled in heart and soul. Like Martha. Remember, Martha was troubled. He said, "Martha, you're troubled, careful and troubled, anxious," right? But Mary has chosen that good part. Mary, I believe, had found the peace always by all means. She had discovered the ability to access that peace. But I found that most people, particularly people that drift through this ministry and come through here for help, do not have access to that peace. They may have intermittent peace. They may have moments when they experience a peace that passes understanding. But it's not an abiding reality in their life. Okay? Now, let me show you a verse in Psalm 37 about peace. Psalm 34, verse 14. Turn there. Psalm 34:14 reads, "Depart from evil and do good." Now, King James reads, "Seek peace and pursue it." Is that how your versions read? Now, turn into Psalm 37, verse 11. "But the meek shall inherit the earth," and King James reads, "and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." See, I want to nail down that peace is our heritage. Peace is a promise. When you do not abide in peace, it's not like it's not there for you. There's something you have to do to access the peace of God if you've lost it. You ever talk about someone's lost their peace? Right? I tell you what, one day God can get my attention is when my peace is disturbed. In fact, we're told, turn to Colossians 3:15. We're told that it is our peace. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're called in one body, be thankful." Now that word rule, Colossians 3:15, literally means in the Greek, play the umpire. See, we're called to have so much peace in our life that peace is the determining factor whether something's of God. Now, you ever heard someone say, "Well, I don't have peace about that"? You say something, you know, let's say you're not saved, you meet somebody that is a total pagan. And by the way, I'm getting to know people like that. I really enjoy being out of my pastor bubble, involved with Primerica, and I'm getting to know total pagans. Just last night, a young man that I'm working with, real nice guy, we were talking and chatting. He said, I'm going to be going to school. I said, really, what, you're going to be taking this and that? And yeah, I'm going to take yoga. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. I said, why are you going to take yoga? Well, it's good exercise. He says, in fact, I think there's this yoga institute in Pasadena I'm going to go to. I went, oh, Lord. I knew that banner was hanging over. Fairmont was going to get people. So we chatted a bit. We're in the middle of the room with a lot of people around. And I've got a relationship with this fella. In fact, I'm tending on going out and doing some business calls with him at some point. So I had to check. I felt the Spirit say, don't go there now. Because I had to bite my tongue. Because I wanted to go there. But then upon further reflection, I thought, but why would I go there? Listen carefully. He's not saved. Right? Why would I tell an unsaved person to not do yoga? I mean, he's going to hell anyway. Might as well do a little stretching, right? I mean, I don't mean to be rude, right? Kind of be limbered. But I mean, he's a nice guy, but he's going to hell. Let's be honest. He needs Jesus. So what I realize is I don't need to lay on him. You need to do this and you do. Isn't that a temptation sometimes in the world? Well, you shouldn't do that. Well, why not? He's going to burn. Give him a few seconds to enjoy it. For eternity, he can remember. Right? So, I mean, I had to check myself because it's like a legalism. I was going to cry. And then I thought, Lord, forgive me. And did I talk to you about this today, Bo? But I was going to the Lord and I thought the Spirit said, well, then you need to pray for him. Pray for him for that open door. You can offer the gospel. So, I mean, you know, if you go to someone like that and he's talking, you go, well, you know, I don't have peace about that. Now, we say that phrase, I don't have peace about that, all the time. Can you imagine saying that to someone that's not saved? They'll go, huh? What do you mean? Huh? That's one of those phrases we use as Christians. Like, well, brother, are you sanctified in the blood of the Lamb? And have you been justified? Are you going to see the redemption of your body, to wit, the adoption? Peace. I don't have peace about that. But, you know, as believers, we know that the peace of God rules in our heart. Now, the one problem I have is sometimes you tell somebody something and they don't like it. They instantly say, well, I don't have peace about that. I go, well, you had a chance to even be disturbed by it. I mean, come on, has that ever happened? Basically, it's a way of saying I don't agree with you, but it's a religious way. I don't have peace about that. Well, give me a break. Go spend some time with the Lord and come back to me. Just don't tell me I don't have peace about that. I don't have peace about you not having peace. Well, my peace is more peaceful than your peace. Look at the promise of God in Psalm 23. You ever heard of that psalm? Right after 22. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll turn there. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside what? Now, do y'all, any of y'all have margin rendering of that word? Still waters. You know what my margin reads? Waters of quietness. And then he says, he restores my soul. Now, I would submit to you that the whole work of the Holy Spirit is to restore our soul. Can I, amen? When we get saved, our soul is still a mess. Lots of bondage, lots of stuff in the mind and emotions. But what the Holy Spirit is about is to restore the soul. Okay? To bring restoration. To bring our soul into the likeness of Jesus. To bring peace. Where once we were turbulent and tossed to and fro in every anxiety. To bring peace to the depth. Not just to our mind. Not just to our spirit. To our soul. Do you understand? Jesus said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden and I'll give you what? Anybody? But he doesn't stop there. He says, now take my yoke upon you and learn of me and you will find what? You will find what? Where? Unto your souls. In other words, he's saying, when you first come to me, I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest in your spirit. But now you need to take my yoke. You need to become a disciple. You need to learn to bend my will. Resist the propensities you have to do your own thing. Break. And then, as you break and get up under my authority and resist the things inside of you that want to do its own thing, then you'll find rest where? Under your souls. You'll find rest in levels you've never been restful. You'll find peace in levels there's been turbulent waters all your life. Generationally turbulent waters. You're going to find peaceful waters as you get up on. That's the restoration, waters of quietness. Now, here's the point I want to make, why this is this scripture, this teaching was quickened to me. Look at Isaiah 26. Is the last, for some reason recently, I don't know what's happened, why this is, and I've learned not to ask why. I just say, thank you, Lord. But for some reason, I've been accessing a level of peace that I haven't had before. And I think it's because there's been greater turmoil. I don't know. But I've been able to access a level of peace of being in the present moment. And the other day I was in the backyard, sitting on the diving board, just looking out and praising God, looking at the sky, and just having a little quiet time. And I remember thinking, you know, Lord, while I was sitting there, I thought, there is no other time than this. I thought, there is no other thought. There is no other issue going on in the universe right now. The only thing is I'm sitting here looking up at the clouds and talking to you. There's nothing else going on at all in my mind or emotions than being with you right now. And I'm thinking, this is totally cool. It was like, there is just total there. And I thought, man, Lord, I want to abide. Let's build a tabernacle. Well, you know, for some reason recently, I've been able to be there. I don't know why. I haven't done anything different. But it seems like I've just been able to access this place where I'm just there. I was driving on the road the other day, and it's just like I'm thinking, man, it is just total peace. And that's when that scripture came to my mind. Now, the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And I said, Lord, this is what I've been wanting. That's really living in the present moment. Can you know what I mean? And then as I was walking through the store the other day, I was going to a Home Depot or something, and I was just in that place of peace again, and I felt the Spirit whisper to me. He said to me, when you're in this place, you hear my voice. Amen? That it's the reason we don't hear his voice is because there's something else that's distracting us. And where he wants us to be is in this place of peace. Where we're just in the present moment. Right? Totally there. We're at peace, down to the depths, where there's nothing going on. Now, here's the, in fact, look, Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, who what? Mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Now, these are promises. These are promises. Perfect peace. Y'all know the verse, and turn to Philippians 4, just a few more verses, and then I'm going to get to how you can do this, hopefully. Philippians 4, 6, flip over there. Be careful for nothing, or some versions would be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, you know how that reads in the original? Listen, this is cool. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is literally a picture of warriors standing around your heart and mind, protecting your heart and mind from intruders. What do y'all think those are? Angelic beings. I really believe that peace, listen, is an angelic presence. I am convinced it is an angelic presence. And I believe the reason we don't have peace, it is a demonic presence. Am I right? But when we are truly in the presence of the Lord, in the moment, there are angelic beings that garrison and mount guard over. They literally stand about us and they can be a shield about our mind and heart. Because there's going to be stuff thrown at you. All the time. God wants us to find a place of peace where it doesn't disturb our peace. It doesn't rob our peace. And I love the allegory, the analogy, you've heard me say it so many times, of the hurricane. A hurricane is a fascinating phenomenon. Remember that big one that was going up the East Coast this fall? What was that one? Was it Isabel? That was a mean sucker. Remember, it was like a Category 4 there at one point. Well, one of them went through Bermuda, right? And then there was another one. And they had a satellite picture of that thing. And it was perfectly... you could see the eye from the satellite picture. It was fascinating. The thing just spread out over thousands of miles. And yet there was this clear eye of peace right in the middle of that storm. You know, God did that. God created that. To show us, I think it's a picture. In the middle of the storm, there's perfect peace. And I've been in the eye of, I think, 4 hurricanes in my life. Hurricane Betsy, and Hurricane Alicia, that came right through Houston, and a couple of others. And it's a phenomenal thing. Now, here's the question. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. You say, well, how do you do that? How do you access this peace? How do you really walk in it? Sounds all good, but what do you have to do to get there? Because I'm trying and striving, but it's not working. All right. You know what? I do think there's something you can do to have peace. How to have peace always by all means. And we're told really right here in 2 Corinthians 10. You see, it's spiritual warfare. To have peace is going to take a battle. You're going to have to. It's worth fighting for. I'm telling you what, man. I wouldn't trade my peace for anything in the world. Did you know this is what peace and the people in the world are looking for? Amen? One of the fellows we work with there at Primerica, he's a nice guy. He's one of the leaders in the place. Really nice fellow. Personable. Sharp. But he doesn't know Jesus. He's godly in the sense that he's moral. But he doesn't know Jesus. And many a time we've gotten to be friends and he'll pull me in. In fact, he even talks to me sometimes about God. Kind of a moral sense. He'll mention God and never does mention the name of Jesus, but he mentions God and I'm developing a relationship. But I've heard him say 4 or 5 times, he'll come and say, well, man, I just couldn't sleep last night because my mind wouldn't stop. And he said that about a week or two ago. He says, yeah, I was up till 3. The situation, my mind wouldn't stop and I just couldn't sleep. I remember thinking, you know, thank you, Jesus. I know how to put my mind, make it stop. Can you amen? How many of y'all go to bed and it's just a bunch of stuff? Huh? Just whirling around. Well, you know, if you're born again, you don't have to sit under that stuff. I mean, you can see Jesus. We're laying there in bed. Jesus, here. I put it, it's going to be there in the morning. I don't have to let it rob my peace. He gives me beloved sleep. I just put it this way. One of the things I do before I go to sleep every night, I literally tell Jesus about everything I'm about. While I'm laying here, my head on the pillow, I'm saying, okay, Jesus, here. And I give that to you. And I put it at your feet. Okay, Jesus, this deal, yeah. And then I'll even bring up stuff that's not bothering me right now, but I know could. Here, Jesus, I'll put that at your feet. This, this, and this. And, oh, that's it. Please, it's yours. And then I say, Lord, forgive me for trying to fix those dealies. They're your deals. And then I give him thanks. And guess what? A feast. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? What a precious gift, guys. Now, here's the warfare. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cast down imaginations. That word in the Greek is logismos, reasonings, logics. Every high thing that exalts itself against God's knowledge, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something practical, a practical way you can walk in peace and abide in peace, and how to have peace always by all means. And that is, it takes work. It takes effort. You have to cast down imaginations. You have to come on. You have to confront these things that are tormenting you, that are attacking, that are assaulting you, that are and they're coming at you. You have to attack them. You can't run from them. See, most people run from them. That's why they do drugs. Right? That's why they anesthetize the brain. That's why they hide in indulgences. Is they're running from these things, these bugbears. And they torment them. They run and hide. Well, the problem is, as soon as you come out from under the bed, guess what? It's still there. So you've got to face these things. You've got to face into them. Now, this is why a lot of people don't have peace, because they don't want to face these things. They do not want to face these issues, these problems, these circumstances in their life. They don't want to face them. So they run and hide. And okay, and they may compromise, or they move into denial, right? Or there's all kinds of things. But you know, the problem is they never had that deep peace. They may be born again, but they don't have that peace that passes all understanding, because they're not dealing with the problem. There's this nagging, gnawing, low-level sense of uneasiness, restlessness deep down inside the soul. And I believe that's where the demons torment. The demons are not the problem. The demons are the symptom. When we don't face things and we compromise and we don't deal with things, then what we resign ourselves to is a low-level lack of peace. And that's where the devil has triumph and authority in our life at that point. So the first thing is, what I read in these passages, casting down every, bringing every thought, when it speaks to me, is facing it, confronting it, not letting it rule you. You rule it. You getting down and dirty and desperate about these things in your life. And what things am I meaning? Well, Jesus said, if you come to the Lord's altar and you remember there that your brother has aught against you, what does he say to do? Leave your gift and go what? Huh? First, go reconcile. In other words, go and work the issue out. Resolve the issue. Am I right? Don't get religious. Resolve it. He's dead serious. Resolve that issue. Go and... did you know there's a verse in Romans 12 that says, as much as lies in you, live what? Peaceably with all men. There again, as much as do all you can do. Try to resolve the thing. Work it out. Well, right there, a lot of people would just say, well, I'd just soon have low-level uneasiness all day long than have to face so-and-so and work it out. Right? So they say, hey, man, that terrifies me so bad. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll just settle with my low-level unease. Well, I mean, it's your choice. But this is reality. We've got to confront casting down logics. And you know, the enemy's going to hit you on logic. He's going to hit you on logic and reasonings. He's going to hit you in all kinds of imaginations and fears and things that could be if you obey God. This and that could happen. You just need to plow through it. You need to be faithful. That's why it says pursue peace. Press into peace. Don't compromise for anything other than peace. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You know, once you've tasted of God's peace, that passes all understanding. I mean, you know, there's nothing like it. I mean, I wouldn't trade it. I remember the moment I first tasted God's peace. I remember the second, the precise second when the peace of God came over my soul and my spirit. And I've never, ever experienced anything. I didn't know such a feeling and a phenomena existed in the universe. And when I had it, I thought, I ain't never losing this. That is the greatest experience, the peace, the stillness, the quiet, the solemnity, the surety, the knowledge that I'm right with God, that I'm with God, that God's with me, that He's bigger than everything, that He has everything under His control. And I don't have to fear. Another thing is spiritual warfare is we have lots of weapons of warfare. Not only in resolving issues, but we have weapons of warfare. We're told that in Ephesians 6, you know, take up the sword. You've got to engage. Again, this verse here speaks of confronting. Getting out there and having the guts to confront these things and do what you got to do. When a voice comes to you and a thought or an idea or a notion or whatever, then you do something with it. You don't just let it come and nest in your hair. You do something. You take authority over that thing, what is attacking you. And you say, well, that's hard and cumbersome and troublesome. Well, I tell you what, if you want peace, it's worth it. Because that's the motivation to me, is to keep your peace and not lose your peace. It's worth whatever it takes to fight to get that peace back. Sometimes you'll be restless and you don't know why, then you need peace and you're not getting peace. How many of y'all have a quiet time? You're just restless. And you don't know why. And you just don't, this recently happened to me and I just was troubled and I was restless and I didn't know what was going on. I kept praying and I wasn't at peace. And it was really troublesome because I always have peace in my quiet time. That's why I have one in the morning. And in that particular incident, I wasn't snapping. And I didn't do what I needed to do. But what I'll do is I'll say, okay, Lord, I don't have peace. I need to pray. So begin to pray in tongues. And just pray in the Spirit and do war and do battle and fight. Because I think sometimes the reason I'm not having peace is the Holy Spirit has stirring me up for battle. There's something going on in the spiritual realm. There's something demonic occurring in the spirit realm. I need to do battle against. I need to come against the enemy. I need to fight the enemy in the name of Jesus. And wrestle with... We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers. It's a wrestling match. He's called me to wrestle. And... You know, I don't mind getting in the wrestling ring, and wrestling with demons if it means getting my peace back. It's worth it to me. Sometimes you have to wrestle with spirits and do war and intercede and get in the face of the Lord and get in the face of the enemy. Here's the bottom line. Here's another area. These are things you can do to access and maintain your peace. Is total surrender. If you will totally surrender every right you have, every right, and this is what separates the soul from the spirit. If you don't have peace, you go to the Lord, you say, Lord, I surrender every single thing, every right, even my right to have peace. I surrender everything. I'm your bond slave. I'm bought with a price. I surrender. I utterly make you Lord, I give thanks, I acknowledge you, I utterly surrender everything to you. Completely, 100%, totally to you. And then I made a note here, then whatever's left standing, rebuke that. Does that make sense? When you've really surrendered everything, whatever is still standing up, whatever is still standing, you've laid everything down, all the rights. Whatever's still standing, come against that. In Jesus' name. Bind that. Resist that. That's the demonic. That's how you can alienate the demonic. That's how you can separate the demonic from the soul. Is utterly, completely. Because sometimes if you're not really surrendered, you don't know if it's demonic. And it may not be. It may not be demonic. It may be you. Can you amen? So until you're fully crucified, denying yourself, lay down your rights totally, then whatever's left standing, you resist it, and it'll fall. And this really works for me. This really, really works. Because I'm like anybody else. People say sometimes, well, how do you know it's a demon? I mean, how do I know it's not my flesh? Is it a demon or flesh? And I'll say, you know, I really wish you could cast out the flesh and crucify the demon. I mean, if we had a flesh casting out, how many of y'all would be up here, man? I would. Cast that sucker out. Crucify the demon. Nail that sucker and cast out the flesh. But that ain't the way it works. Does that make sense what I'm saying tonight? Can you amen? Because I found most people's demonic problems, when you really get down to it, is really a rights issue. They're just hanging on to their rights. Have y'all ever heard of Bill Gothard? You know, he's got some really, really good stuff. I have a bit of problem with some of his ministry over the years, a little bit legalistic. But I tell you, he's got some of the most marvelous teaching. And I went to a bunch of his seminars and got some really good teaching about anger. And one of the things he taught was how anger, in a lot of ways, is just retaining your rights in the situation. And when you let go of your rights, I think when you really let go of your rights, then if anything's demonic, it's going to stick its head up. See? So I don't know if it's a demon or if it's my flesh. Well, get on the cross. Really let go your rights. Totally surrender to Jesus, utterly. Say, Jesus, whatever. Then what's left standing, that's demonic. And a lot of times there's nothing standing there. Because the problem a lot of times wasn't a demon at all. It was you. Can you imagine? It was you. I really believe demons are exacerbators. Or they're not initiators, they're exacerbators. They don't cause a problem. We cause a problem. They just exacerbate. They just titillate. They just encourage. Yeah, yeah, more, more, flesh, more. That's all. They're in the saddle. They're cheerleaders. Am I right? Yeah! Enjoy! That's all they are. They're not the problem. How many of y'all want deep peace? Amen? That passes all understanding, all the way down to the gut. I do, man. I was privileged to be in a couple of deliverance sessions lately. And I was in one about a week or two ago where this individual came in. And they love the Lord. And I never seen such a tormented person. Well, I have. I take that back. I have. But it'd been a while. But this person loved Jesus. But it was like when you looked at their face, it was constantly moving. I don't know how to describe it. Their face was moving. And I think it was demons in his face. But he loved the Lord. But he was a tormented individual. And it was a privilege to sit there. And you know the real problem was? It's interesting. This guy was full of demons. I mean, there were demons on top of demons in there. There was bunk beds full of demons inside this guy's soul. They were jammed in there. But you know what his real problem was? It wasn't demons. Ever since Jerry's ministry recently, sitting under a ministry again, it's just given me a fresh angle to approach, just kind of a new angle. I always need new angles. And so I sat there with this brother and just began to talk to him a little bit. And the whole thing was resentment and bitterness. He just wasn't letting go of something. And he wasn't cognizant of it, but as we talked, he began to surface. And he began to say, yeah, he was really angry and resentful. So I just said, well, are you sick enough yet of it? Are you ready to let it go, or do you want to continue in this level of torment? And the very reason he was here was the answer to that. That's why he was here. He said, I want to be free. I said, okay, well then let's pray and go to Jesus and humble yourself. I said, first you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for your pride and your rebellion and hanging on to this bitterness and resentment. In this case, it was against an older brother. It wasn't his father. So he did, and it was amazing. Just began to really, and I don't think he'd ever done this, but just began to pour his heart out. And, you know, just forgive, 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 forgive. And he just began to cry and weep. I mean, all this junk began to come up. All this hurt, all this wrath just coming up. It was like, have you ever, good analogy, you know, something where you pump something and it finally begins to gush up, but it's kind of dry for a while. What's a good analogy? Because that's for good water. I'm talking about like nasty stuff, huh? Well, prime the sewer. Well, that's the point. It got primed and the sewer, it was flowing up, just flowing up. But you know what I realized? The sewer was sin. It was sin. It was sewer water. It was sin of retaining his rights to be mad because he'd been hurt. And man, I'll tell you, it was dirty, filthy. And the demons had a heyday over him for years because of the sewer water. But when the sewer water came out, you know, I just say, more, Lord. I always pray, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I say, just, you know how, you know, plug the clean water valve on the bottom and flush it out, right? Isn't that what you do with cars? You flush the... flush it out, Lord. It was so fine. And then when it was over, then I began to rebuke the demons. I mean, come out! I mean, I'll tell you, the holy fire was on me. And these things began to manifest. He was yawning and coughing and gagging. And blah, 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 blah. These demons were coming out. And that was a cool deliverance session. And then when that was over, I said, now come Holy Spirit with peace. And I'll tell you, it was like he just melted in a little puddle in the couch there, you know. Man, that is so fine. To come Holy Spirit. Just this melted power. Since you can almost see, I have literally, I love to close my eyes because I can literally see God's light from heaven coming at that point. I can sense it. I can't, you know, see it with my spiritual eyes. It's light from heaven falling on this guy. And that's all there was to the whole thing. And I just explained to you the entire philosophy of demonization in that one instance. That's it. The problem was retaining his rights, hanging on to a hurt, bitterness, judgment, whatever. Right? The sewer water that gathered over the years, he was finally so frustrated, so upset, so hurt, so miserable, played the religious game for so long, been all the big churches and nobody, everybody gave him his platitudes, and he finally came for real help, where somebody just knew how to unscrew and let it flush out, gave him a loving environment where he wasn't condemned. Said, dude, you know, just humble yourself. He got the garbage out, then I could come against the demons. Now, had I come against the demons before the sewer water come out, they wouldn't have left. But once all the system was flushed, then I could break those things and they lifted. And I'm telling you, the peace of God that passes all understanding. So how many of y'all are willing to fight for your peace? Huh? Do whatever it takes for peace? Folks, I'm telling you, Satan does not want you to walk in peace. You have power when you walk in peace. Peace power. Amen? Peace power. Power and peace. It's funny. It seems like the more hell that breaks around me, the more peace I have. That's kind of a dichotomy there. But the worse it is, the deeper the peace. Amen? The more stuff, because I really believe the Lord says, I will hide you under the shadow of my wings. Man, that is one serious, loud rap song. If that's driving my car 100 yards away. Nah, praise God. Well, let's all stand. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight. Listen, this is what I'm going to pray for us. How many of y'all have the guts you're going to fight for your peace? You're willing to do whatever. Look, are you willing to obey the Holy Spirit? Because it is the heart of the Lord to speak to your heart. Oh, listen, I forgot this verse. Psalm 85. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people, unto His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. His voice is peace. He said, Jesus, when he would appear, he'd always say, peace I leave with you. What? Peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be afraid. But you know what, folks? You're going to have to determine to fight. If you're not willing to obey Jesus, make the hard choices, then you know what? He absolutely loves you anyway. He won't leave you. But he will let you continue to sit in your restlessness and your unease until you get to the point you're willing to come and have a system flush. Amen? How many of y'all could use a good system flush? Feel like there's stuff down in there. Come, Holy Spirit, Lord, tonight. Lord, we want to live in the present moment, the moment where time touches eternity, the moment where God is. I believe you've called us to live one day at a time in this world. And you've given us your Spirit that we could walk in peace. For the fruit of the Spirit is peace, joy, and love. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight that you would give them the courage and the vision and the understanding to do whatever it takes, as much as lies in them, to live peaceably with all men. Lord, if they have to humble themselves, Lord, if they must pray so that they can fight, or if they must fight so that they can pray. Lord, whatever it takes, if we must wrestle against principalities and powers, and at times getting a wrestling match, break out into a sweat, Lord, exert every ounce of our energy, fighting, resisting, whatever it takes, Lord, so we can hang on to and approach and pursue peace. For your peace is a precious, I believe your peace, Lord, is the atmosphere of heaven itself. You have graciously granted to us in this life the very atmosphere of heaven. For in heaven there is peace eternal everywhere you look. And your promise was, now the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. You've called us to live in the atmosphere of heaven. But we're down here in enemy territory, Lord. We're down here. Well, heaven has not yet come down. But you've given us taste, the foretaste of heaven. Lord, help us to have the courage to fight and retain that and walk in that so we can give peace away. Away. When it's in you, it's something rather than transferring other spirits, you can give peace. Do it, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your peace. Peace that passes all understanding. We can live in the present moment where time touches eternity. There's no fear. Presence of God. Yes, sir?
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.